Welcome to the Corner of Film podcast. I'm Niall from Corner of Film, which is a film website where I write about film. This is a film podcast where we talk about the latest news and releases and sometimes spread a little knowledge too. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host and best friend, Jack. Hello, Jack.
Confused co-host as well. That was a different read.
I know. I've added a bit in just to explain why we're here. Yeah, thank you. I mean, if it's too wordy, I can...
You'll definitely not mess that up every week.
No, well, it'll just be like 4 or 5 takes until it's...
Yeah, it'll be all right.
It's perfect. So, Jack, I think before we do anything else, I just should apologise again for last week's episode. I think I should sound better this time.
I think you because,
do. Yeah, so what happened? Because I didn't really want to, you know, put several minutes on the front of the podcast while I explained exactly how I messed it up. But I thought my microphone, the proper one, was plugged in, and it wasn't. So I sat and recorded the last episode talking into a microphone that just wasn't plugged in. Mm. And so the one that's inside my computer recorded all of my audio, which is why it sounded so awful.
I'll tell you what, though, it didn't sound as horrific as it could have done.
No, I did think that. Like, when I started editing it, I was like, oh, no. And then by sort of, I don't know, the 10-20 minute mark, I thought, oh, it is what it is, isn't it? But yeah, hopefully that won't ever happen again.
Let's hope not.
I didn't want to, like, just bin the whole episode, so...
Oh, God, no. No.
So yeah, here we are.
Here we are.
Jack, should we jump straight in to segment one?
Let's.
I feel like we need we've got little audio clips that introduce all the others, and we've not got one for that. So maybe we need to write a jingle or...
I can do a little something. Not now, because you put me on the spot, but I'll think of something.
Yeah, we have like a little, it's weekly watches. It's our little weekly watches section. So this is where it's not even weekly, it's bi-weekly, but we talk about, you know, what we've been watching for the last couple of weeks. So Jack, go on, hit me. What have you been watching?
Okay. Bit of a random assortment.
As always.
But on the back of last week's episode talking about Kingsman and the likes, I went back and I rewatched Kick-Ass because I love that film.
Yeah.
Still really good. Still really fun.
Yeah, it's a great film.
Can't really fault it, really. It's just a good comic book movie.
Do you know what I like about Kick-Ass? It's got a real, like, sort of brutality to it. Like, it's...
Yeah,
the violence is really violent, but it's still... I mean, it very much like Kingsman in that, you know, it's got that real... sort of horrifically brutal side to it, but it's quite funny.
Yeah, it knows what it is.
Yeah, and yeah, no, great film.
Yeah, and then we watched Legally Blonde 2.
Yes.
Now, I give Liz a rough time because I'm always like, oh, you've not seen The Godfather, you've not seen me, like this, that, and the other.
Yeah, yeah.
Turns out I hadn't seen Legally Blonde 1 or 2, and we did the first one, I think, before Christmas.
Nice.
And as always, kind of struggling with things to watch on Netflix. So we landed on Legally Blonde 2. And I have to say, it was all right. I didn't hate it.
No, I like Legally Blonde 1 and 2. Great films. Yeah. I mean, not great films, but for what they are, calm down, you know, they're masterpieces of cinema.
Yeah. Get it. Then I finally watched, minus the last 20 minutes, because. Asleep, I think. No, that's not testament to this film. It just got very late. But The Green Knight, finally got around to checking it out.
Oh, finally.
I know. And actually, really, really like it. I definitely see where some people are coming from with the, you know, thinking there's an issue with the pacing or it being a bit too pretentious. But I really enjoyed it. Really beautifully shot, which I knew it was anyway. But yeah, just nice to watch something. A little bit different.
Yeah, that's I think the most accurate description I've heard of it. Is it's just a bit different. It's, you know, I feel like some of the reviews of it were maybe a little bit too glowing. It's not.
Yeah.
You know, it's very kind of arty, and it is a little bit. It comes across as a little bit sort of. Is that it? But I don't know. It's not quite what I was expecting, which I think was what threw me with it. But I enjoyed it too. Definitely. Yeah.
And then the last one we'll talk about in a minute, because I know you watched it as well.
Yeah.
What about you? What have you been watching?
We might as well start with what we both watched. So we finally got to go together to the cinema to see a new release for the first time in however many years.
Christ knows, too many years.
And we went to see one that we've both been waiting for quite a while, Nightmare Alley.
Yeah.
Which, so, for anyone who's not aware, it's not been reviewing particularly well, which is a shame because it's got such a great cast. It's Guillermo del Toro. It's a remake of you know, an older film that a lot of people do really love. And it was just, I mean, it was an experience, was it not, Jack?
It was a bit of a roller coaster. And before we go on, you know, we both know it wasn't reviewing well and people didn't love it. But you know who does love it?
Who's that?
Mr. Kermode himself.
Does he?
Oh my lord, what a review he wrote of that. See, gushing he was.
It's I still don't know how I feel about it. I've been thinking all day and I still can't work out if I loved it or hated it.
Like equal measures.
Yeah, it was a real, like, you know, we won't spoil it because a big part of the film is the kind of suspense and it you know, it's,
which it
it's
does very well.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, I was invested in it, definitely. Yes. I wanted to know where it was going. But, you know, like we both came out saying, like the pacing was all over the place. There were moments where I was practically begging for it to end. And then there were others where I thought, I'm really enjoying this and I could sit here for another hour. And
yeah,
it was, I mean, I'd like to just kind of, I think we'll run through our kind of biggest, maybe just biggest kind of criticisms and then biggest, like, you know, best things. But for me, I think what I really loved was visually, I thought it was beautiful. It was quite, you know, grimy and gritty, and it really like captured what it was trying to capture. But there was, you know, it's got a lot of kind of carnival imagery and stuff. And
yeah, I love all that.
Yeah. And I thought that was really well done. What about you, Jack? What was your kind of...
I agree. I think, yeah, definitely it looked great. Yeah, felt really gritty and dirty. And it did... I'm a sucker for, like, films set in the 40s. Like, that's one of my favourite eras for anything. Yeah, it looked great. And I think that might be some of the best acting I've seen from Bradley Cooper. Like, I can't think of another film where I was like, oh, wow. Like, I know he's a good actor, but...
Yeah, definitely. He showed a real sort of not necessarily range as much as depth, but there was a lot of kind of layers to what he was doing. And, you know,
vulnerability.
You can see this. Yeah. Yeah. But you can kind of, it was quite an intense watch. I felt like there was a lot going on in a lot of kind of ways and places. And I liked it's a really, really a film of two halves. You've got half sort of the gritty carnival side and then the half where he's sort of a sleek big city huckster and he's, you know, and also
quite literally a film of two halves. I think the second half is definitely better than the first half, but
it builds, doesn't it? That's the thing. It does build.
It does build, but that's part of its issue. Because I said to you, I don't think the runtime is the issue. It's the amount of time they spent on setup in the first third half was like, it was insane. Like, I get it because it did its job. It built like character and you knew about the characters and you knew like motivations and whatever they wanted you to know. But I just felt it was, some of it didn't really lead to anything, maybe. I don't know.
There were a few elements that maybe could have been cut out, but that's sort of my biggest, it is my biggest criticism. But today I've also been thinking, I don't know that it is a criticism because you know, last night after watching it I was tired and I was sort of thinking, oh, that was way too long. But when I then thought about it and I was thinking about, well, what would I have cut out, I thought, actually, I really liked all that build up because
it was good. It was world building.
Yeah. And most of it paid off. And the bits that didn't kind of still built that sense of what it was and what it was trying to do. And, you know, there was still something there, even though it didn't.
Yeah.
It wasn't obvious what exactly it was adding. It was adding something. And I still can't work out how much I like it. but I will be reviewing it tomorrow. And I'll put that up. I mean, I'll post it probably the day after the podcast goes out. I'll put up a review. Again, I'll try and keep it spoiler free. I don't think I need to spoil it, but yeah, I'm going to try and organize my thoughts. And
I would say, like, anyone who's kind of like unsure, if like, I definitely would go and see it. It is a really good film, and it's like, it's different. It's good to see, you know, something other than Marvel.
It's not like a blockbuster. No. It is a very different experience, but
yeah, if you like Guillermo del Toro, you will like it to a degree, because it is very much him.
Yeah, and I think that's where we both were really with it. Like, there were elements we didn't enjoy, but yeah, no, it was good to be back at the cinema together, Corner Film Boys.
That's it. First outing together.
Yeah, annoying the people in front of us.
Yeah. You chose sweet popcorn like an absolute freak.
I didn't want salty, it was gonna burn my mouth.
You belonged in that circus.
Yeah. I was one of the freaks.
You were a freak.
Yeah, so aside from Nightmare Alley, which I'm still not sure how to feel about, I've watched quite a bit. Most of these I've reviewed, so I won't go into them too much. Some I've posted reviews already, some are written and scheduled, but they don't come out until like late next week. So there's another sort of 2 weeks worth of reviews in what I've watched.
Lovely stuff.
So I watched, as I said I would, I watched The Amazing Spider-Man 2. I enjoyed it more than I remembered enjoying it, you know, previously.
Yeah.
But I have got to say, as much as if they made a third, you know, there's a lot of talk about it now, but if they made a third Andrew Garfield, like Amazing Spider-Man, I would absolutely go and see it.
Oh, I would, but
I'm not going to like lobby to have it made or anything. It's not that.
No. We live in a weird time where everyone thinks they have power. If you get like 30,000 signatures, they're like, you've got to listen to us. The fans want it.
Yeah. And it. The Amazing Spider-Man 2 was okay, but I feel like what they did in No Way Home kind of put a nice little full stop on the end of it. So
yeah, I agree.
To me, it doesn't really need another one, but it was enjoyable enough. Like, yeah, I'd watch
glimmers
it again
of potential.
Yeah, and there were certain things that I think didn't get any recognition at the time. Like, there are elements of, as much as the bit where it plays Itsy Bitsy Spider when he's fighting Electro, like it's kind of wacky and a bit stupid.
Yeah.
But they had some real like musical themes going on, and like they were really trying with it. And I thought it maybe hasn't landed the way they wanted, but they tried. I watched the review for this came out today actually. I watched Annihilation finally.
Oh, wicked. I love that film.
Yeah, I loved it too.
I mean, I'm not going to spoil it because I want people to see it. I talk about it on and on, and I go on about it. But how unnerving is that final act? Like,
just that final sort of 30 seconds was just really creepy.
It still makes me feel a bit sick, like when the music is like perfect. It goes with it so well.
Yeah, that whole film. There was not a single moment of Annihilation that I did not enjoy on some level. And yeah, so that review is up on the website as we speak. I've started, it's the first in a new series of reviews, which is kind of the reason I want to bring it up. They're called Late to the Party, which basically I realized there are loads of films that I want to review that they're not like films that time forgot. They're not unpopular. If anything, they're actually quite popular films, but I've just not seen them. And it's, you know, they came out 4 or 5 years ago, longer sometimes. And you know, how do you review a film that came out that long ago without a gimmick? Make a gimmick.
Good point.
That's what you do. So Late to the Party is just me basically watching films I should have seen a long time ago. And yeah, loved Annihilation. So there are a few more of those Late to the Parties sort of coming up. But
can I recommend, if you liked Annihilation, another, it's not similar really. It's more out there than Annihilation, and it's more unnerving. It's quite a hard watch in parts, but have you seen Under the Skin?
No, it's in my list. Shall I add it to the?
Yeah, definitely. It'll stick with you for quite a while.
Is that Scarlett Johansson?
It is Scarlett Johansson. Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, I've been meaning to catch it for a while, but
watch it in the dark on your own.
Oh, that's I mean, mostly I watch films when I can't sleep, so it's like 2 o'clock in the morning.
That will not help.
No, probably not. So, aside from that, I rewatched Eternals. Now it's on Disney Plus.
Still need to watch it.
I don't have much more to add other than sort of what I've already said. When I did an episode, me and Oliver did a deep dive on that, and I reviewed it. And you know, I don't have anything to add really. What else have I watched? I watched Scream at the cinema. The new one. Reviewed it. That's up on the site. It's a spoiler-free review for anyone who you know doesn't want it spoiled. It's with that sort of film, you can't spoil it. To you know, the whole point is the mystery. Yeah. You know. But I would recommend it to any Scream fans or just generally like kind of horror slasher fans. It was fun. It was a lot of fun. I also watched two that I've reviewed that are scheduled for like next week, so one will be up next Tuesday and the other will be up next Thursday. I watched Chaos Walking, you know, the
Holland Daisy Ridley one.
Yeah It got pretty bad reviews.
It got rinsed.
And again, it was very much like hurt by like the pandemic and it didn't get a proper release. And you know, I think if it had been released properly at, you know, like a normal time, I think it would have done well enough, like maybe not critically, but box office wise with those two in it. I didn't hate it. I, you know, it had quite a bit going for it. It missed the mark a little bit, but that's kind of my biggest criticism, that it didn't completely achieve what it was setting out to. But I think it's worth a watch. Like it's on, I believe it's on Prime Video like now.
Yeah,
so if you've got Prime, check it out. Because to me, I mean, hot take here, but I don't like the Hunger Games. Like, I think they're rip-offs of Battle Royale, and I just don't like.
Yeah,
just didn't
not my
do
bag.
Anything for me. But when I watched it, I thought, like, how is something like the Hunger Games so successful, but this just got absolutely destroyed by critics? Because you know, they're both adaptations of like young adult sci-fi dystopian fiction. Not that there's like similarity story-wise, but in sort like in terms of the themes, like in terms of the target audience, in terms of the visuals, it's very similar. And if you enjoy the Hunger Games, you will absolutely enjoy Chaos Walking. And giving it a fair shake, it was a decent film. Like Tom Holland was pretty good in it, Daisy Ridley was pretty good in it, Mads Mikkelsen was pretty good in it. I haven't got much to criticize really, other than it just kind of fell flat. But and the last thing I watched was one I've been trying to get myself to watch it for a long time, and I watched the first like 10 minutes about a year and a half ago and fell asleep immediately. Like it put me to sleep. But it was Valerian and the City of 1,000 Planets.
I don't like Cara Delevingne. Didn't really fancy it.
Jack, I think watching that film is a form of self-abuse. Like,
oh, wow.
To put yourself through it is like, I hated it. Like passionately hated it.
Why?
And don't get me wrong. So like, I've written a review. So I, you know, to kind of brief it, it looks great. The effects are good. There's some really good, like high concept moments, but it's a slog. It's like, there's these moments of fan service to this random French comic book that none of the audience will have read.
No.
Luc Besson put up like $100 million of his own money to make it, and it made nothing back. Like,
oh,
it was
dear.
A huge flop. It cost like, in total, I think it cost $400 million, and this is an independent film.
How is that independent?
Because he personally funded it. It wasn't backed by an actual like studio. It was, you know,
that is madness though.
And I mean, in that respect, it was like big budget sci-fi, you know, in terms of like kind of what it's trying to do. It's very kind of like Star Wars type, you know, that's the aim.
Right.
But the writing was awful. And to be perfectly honest, the acting was not particularly good, especially Cara Delevingne. It just wasn't.
Yeah, she's not good.
Like, she wasn't great. And, you know, I hate to say that because I actually quite like her. Like, you see, when you watch her in interviews and stuff, I think she's quite funny.
She's all right.
I'd like her to do well, but I was just watching it and I just hated every minute of that film. I had to pause it 4 or 5 times just because I was so just distressed by
it.
I was so uncomfortable. But yeah, so that review's up next week. Definitely check that out.
I look forward to reading that.
But yeah, no, that's what I've watched. So
lovely.
So yeah. I suppose really we should jump in just straight in to segment number 2, Jack.
Okay.
What's going on?
Yes, it's what's going on. It's the news, basically. It's just a fun way of saying this is the movie news.
Don't like it.
Yeah. Just, you know. So there's not been a lot of exciting news, to be honest. I feel like we say this
We literally say that every week, but there isn't any.
There's a lot of, like, you know, this person in talks to star in this film, but that's not really news because it's not confirmed. And then there's also, like, you know, the cast for some film that's going to be coming out in 3 years' time has been announced, and that's not news. We're not going into that here. I mean, maybe a couple.
Just a dip.
Yeah, so the first one, I don't know how excited you are about this, Jack. I feel like I should be more excited, but I'm not.
Yeah, I couldn't care less, to be honest.
Leslie Grace is Batgirl. There's been an image. She shared an image of her costume, of what she looks like as Batgirl.
I need to look this
up. It looks all right. You know, yeah, it looks all right. It's not. I tell you what, I've shared it to Corner of Film, last week's news post. It's on there. So if anyone's looking, you know, wants to see it, just hit Corner of Film, go to the latest news post and it's on there. It's just like a purple kind of suit. Like, it's not, you know.
I don't know. That looks kind of cheap. I'm not going to lie.
It does, but she's a child, is she not? So they can't, like, you know, do what they normally do.
Oh, no, I don't mean do that with it. I just mean, like, it looks...
Oh, no. I know what you're saying. It does look... It looks like they've just recycled some old, like, boiler suit from somewhere and made it shiny.
Yeah, it doesn't look great.
We'll see. We'll see what it looks like in the finished film, I guess. But, I mean, I'm sort of excited for that film in a way. Like, it's got J.K. Simmons, Commissioner Gordon, as... you know, Batgirl's dad.
Mm-hmm.
So for anyone who doesn't know, Batgirl in the comics is Barbara Gordon, who's Commissioner Gordon's daughter. So J.K. Simmons, who he's like the DCEU James Gordon, am I right? Like the, you know, Ben Affleck, Batman's Commissioner Gordon, I think.
No, actually, I can't lie. I always just think Spider-Man.
Yeah, I know. I'm pretty sure he's the one from, like, Ben Affleck's Batman.
Right, okay.
But Michael Keaton is going to be in Batgirl as Batman.
That's very cool.
So it is, but it's confusing because I think they've got at least one character from the like, Ben Affleck kind of...
That's a good point. They're picking and choosing. Version.
And then, but then Michael Keaton is going to be appearing this year, so I don't know. I really don't know. But there's also the kind of the reason I'm excited is Brendan Fraser is also in it.
Awesome.
He plays Garfield Linz, who in the comics is Firefly. He's like a super arsonist, basically. It's, you know, I don't think they've said that he's specifically going to be Firefly, but that's who the character is. So he might play him before he becomes a villain, or he might be the actual villain. It's not, you know, it's not been...
Hey, the more Brendan Fraser, the better. Probably.
Well, exactly. And, you know, that's shooting at the moment in Glasgow. We've also got... it's a small thing, but I thought you'd be excited about it, Jack. Daniel Radcliffe, who we both love, he's going to be Weird Al.
It's such a random... Like, what? I don't understand. Like, why?
I have no idea, but did you see what Weird Al said about it?
No, I didn't.
Basically, he just said, this is the role that will define this young man's career. and it just made me laugh.
Yeah, that
is just Weird Al being you know, Weird Al. I think it has the potential to really work. And like, to be honest, anything that Daniel Radcliffe's in, I'll give it a go because I just like him.
He's wonderful. Yeah. And also, I think he could pull it off. He can go weird sometimes. Like he can, he's capable of more than people think he is.
Yeah, he's definitely one of my most underrated actors. Like,
definitely.
He's been in so many things where I've gone, oh, can he really do that? Like, and then you watch it and you think, okay, no, he was great in that.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, definitely. That's one to watch. Chicken Run 2, Jack.
Yeah.
Chicken Run 2 has been, it was announced a long time ago. But it has been given an official title, an official synopsis. So the title is Chicken Run 2 Dawn, or Chicken Run Dawn of the Nugget.
That's so good.
It's so ridiculous that it's good. Yeah. But the big news, really, I don't know how you feel about it. We've not really talked about it, but they've replaced the original voice actors for Rocky and Ginger.
Yeah, see, that's my main critique. How and why? And there was a big stink when they announced, or it was revealed they weren't returning for their parts. Everyone was like, "That's ageist." And to be fair, it kind of is.
In a sense, yes. I think I've not got the names in front of me, so if I'm getting this wrong, then I apologize. But it's Julia Sawalha who voiced Ginger.
Yes.
And I don't know why she's not been asked back. Like, I really don't. She's being replaced by Tandiwe Newton.
Oh, I do like her, though.
Yeah, she's great. And, you know, fair enough. And I guess maybe they wanted to bring a bit more star power to it, like, because she's quite a big name and, you know, okay. But they could have brought the original Ginger back. But it is Rocky, is it not? I'm not.
Yeah, that Mel Gibson plays.
Yeah. Yeah. I can sort of see why they'd replace Mel Gibson.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. Yeah, it's, you know, so he's being replaced by Zachary Levi, who,
okay,
I mean, he's going strength to strength really lately, isn't he?
He is, yeah.
He's doing well. And I don't begrudge him but I don't know. I don't care enough that they've been replaced to really feel any particular way about it. I don't think that will change the film at all. And also, we don't know how soon after it's supposed to be set. You can imagine, okay, well, if this is set like a year after the original Chicken Run, to have voice actors who are, you know, what?
Yeah.
How old is Chicken Run now? Like 20-something years?
Yeah, probably.
Their voices are going to be a lot older than they should be. So it's not really ageist if you think of it.
And then also, they're playing bloody chickens.
Well,
you know what I mean? Like,
there is that. There's also, they've announced the rest of the cast. There's quite a few actors returning who were in Chicken Run, like some of the extra chickens, the ladies, like Imelda Staunton's coming back.
Awesome.
And that. But as sort of new characters, Bella Ramsey, you know, the little girl from Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Lyanna Mormont, she was in Game of Thrones. And she is also going to be in the HBO Last of Us series.
You've got a good couple of years coming then.
And yeah, I believe she's playing the like daughter, the chick of Rocky and Ginger. Ramesh Ranganathan is his voice is in it. I don't think they've said who or what he's going to be.
That'll be interesting because he's a vegan in real life. And if this is, I wonder if he's going to be playing some like chicken activist or like, I don't know, because he's got quite a good sense of humor.
He's a funny man. As soon as I saw he was in it, I thought, okay, that's exciting. Like,
yeah, that's so cool.
He's funny. I think he'll bring like some fun, like British humor to it that is definitely very Chicken Run. Like, when I saw that, I thought, oh, yeah, that's a good casting for that film.
With Phil Daniels.
And and David Bradley.
Oh, really?
David Bradley's going to be in it. So I can imagine it'd be some sort of angry farmer.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe. But yeah, so that comes out. That'll be on release to Netflix, will it not?
I think it is. Also, Chicken Run.
I want to say next.
The original came out in 2000.
Did it really?
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
That is a bit crazy. Sort of. While we're on the Chicken Run side of things, Aardman have also announced there's going to be a new Wallace and Gromit film.
Now that is very cool.
It is. I mean, they've sort of released a synopsis, but it's basically the same synopsis of every single Wallace and Gromit film. Like, I feel like they did it just as a joke.
Yeah.
Like, it just says that Wallace is becoming more and more reliant on his inventions, and Gromit has to, like, save him when one of them goes wrong. Okay. And I thought, is that not the synopsis for every Wallace and Gromit film?
More or less.
Are they, you know, are they
who's gonna
remaking the wrong trousers?
Who's going to play Wallace, though?
I don't know. See, I was wondering, but I'm, you know.
When did he pass? Last year? Year before?
It's fairly recent.
Or was it? I've lost all track of time. But,
yeah,
you know, that's an iconic voice.
It really is. I mean, I'm sure they'll find someone who does a reasonable kind
job.
Yeah, yeah. Because they can't not. You know, they can't make it if they're not going to be able to sort of approximate the same. Yeah. But no, very excited for that. Long time listeners will know that Wallace and Gromit was our top animated film in the like really, really big bracket. That was like a 2-hour episode.
Yeah. You know, the more I think about that, I'm very happy that came out on top because it is justified. It's great.
Yeah, definitely. And it's like the underdog, isn't it? It's that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I love Aardman. Like, I know you do too.
Yeah.
It's just that stop motion kind of charm. While we're on stop motion, we might as well talk about the teaser trailer that came out yesterday at time of recording.
Yeah,
I believe.
Yesterday.
It's Pinocchio.
Oh yes.
So Jack, go on. You talk us through.
Well, seeing as you know, we were talking about Nightmare Alley again. It is Guillermo del Toro, and he's directing a stop motion Pinocchio, which is awesome. Like, that's so cool, and it's got a great cast, unsurprisingly.
Yeah,
we got Ewan McGregor, which is very cool. Like, you know, Ewan's great,
and he plays Sebastian J. Cricket, doesn't
he? The
conscience.
That's it. We got Finn Wolfhard. We're kind of indifferent about that one. Tilda Swinton. We got David Bradley, Christoph Waltz, Ron Perlman, big names.
Yeah, I mean, so, like, it sounds like David Bradley's just been stood in a recording studio somewhere, like, just script after script thrown at him. Tilda Swinton's voice is a great shout. Like, she's got a really distinctive voice that just, the cast, I know it probably shouldn't really for an animated film, but when you read the cast for this film, it is exciting.
So exciting.
And, it's just, you know, the teaser trailer releases, what, 30 seconds long? It's Ewan McGregor talking about, you know, setting up the film, basically.
But it's perfect because it doesn't give anything away, but it has that, it's magical. Like it.
Yeah, and it builds the anticipation and it shows us what roughly it's going to look like. And like the animation looks great already.
Yeah.
It's that real weird, like James and the Giant Peach kind of creepy.
Yeah.
And just, really exciting stuff. So
yeah, that's going to go top of my anticipated list of this year, I think.
Yeah, is that this year or is that start? Oh, no, it is. It's December this
December.
Year on,
Netflix,
on Netflix that will come out. So readily available
awesome.
to everyone, really. We've had some sad news. So I'm going to, hold on, that's the music playing now, Jack.
Oh.
I don't know if you can hear it, but the pipes are calling. Meatloaf died.
Very sad.
I actually, for some reason, just did not put this in last week's news that I probably should have. It was, what, Friday, I think, that he died?
Yeah, Friday. Announced Friday.
Yeah. He actually died of COVID, which is...
Oh, was it actually? I didn't know.
Yeah, obviously that's very sad. But, you know, he'd made a big thing of saying, like, I'm not getting vaccinated, and if COVID kills me, it kills me.
Oh, did he?
And I believe so, yes. I mean, citation very much needed. But,
nonetheless.
I mean, it's tragic. Yeah, it's tragic. He wasn't old, was he? He was,
74?
I don't even know how old he was, but he wasn't, was he that old? I thought he was younger than.
I don't know. I don't know.
Hold on, let's
have a look.
It's given me meatloaf recipe.
Mmm, delicious.
Meatloaf has been given a regal rock tribute by a military band at Buckingham Palace.
That's so weird. That man has such a reach.
Oh, hold on. He was 74, Jack.
He
you
was
were quite
74.
Right. So he was older than I thought, to be fair. But still, 74, he should have had a few more years left in him, really.
Yeah, too soon.
And, you know, because when I heard it, I thought, oh, no, but it's a musician, isn't it? Like, I wasn't thinking about his film roles and his acting roles. And then when I really thought about it the other day, I thought, but Fight Club, obviously.
Yeah.
I've not seen Rocky Horror Picture Show.
No, so neither have I. That's really bad.
Thought of him in that. But I also thought, weirdly, of Tenacious D.
Yeah, same. The dad.
Pick of Destiny. And, you know, he had a real sense of humour. He wasn't, like, afraid to kind of make fun of himself a little bit. And, yeah. You know. So, yeah, very sad. Yeah. Rest in peace.
Rest in peace, Meatloaf.
Okay, I'm going to cut the music out there. Okay. That was the end of it. Yeah. Yeah. The sad, what was it? Our in memoriam music. Jack, shall we move on to segment number three?
Let's move on to segment number three.
Let the games begin.
Yes, it's Let the Games Begin. This week, Jack, you've actually brought something for me.
I have indeed. It's kind of similar to what you offered me last time. So it's trivia slash kind of quiz, I guess. But it's got trivia in there. So I'm going to call it that.
Yeah, I mean, it's close enough. And again, you know, those listening, they can play along
in
their heads. You know, out loud if you're on the bus or something, shout out the answers.
Yeah.
You get the seat to yourself.
You better play along, everyone, because it took me an embarrassingly long time to come up with this. Okay. So I have a list of working titles that films used. So to people who don't know, a working title is almost like a code name for a project or a film so that it doesn't, get media attention, so don't have paparazzi swarming all over the place or people trying to figure stuff out. So it's supposed to fool people, but the cast and crew know what it is. I've got a list of working titles, and I need you to guess what film they are disguising.
Okay.
Does that make sense? That was very wordy, and it took me three attempts.
No, that makes sense. I'm ready for it.
Okay, well, some of these are incredibly random.
Okay.
So for that reason, because some of them are just not related at all, but some of them are really obvious, I've given you three options, and one of them is obviously the right one. The other two I have made up kind of well. Okay. We'll soon find out.
Okay. All right.
Right. Okay. So working title number one is Group Hug.
Group hug.
And your options are Toy Story 4, mm-hmm. The Avengers, or Pitch Perfect 3.
Okay, I actually think I know this one.
I thought you might.
This is Avengers, am I right?
It is indeed.
Okay, I like that.
I do as well. Now, some of these have a reasoning, like, behind the choice of the name. Others don't. I've looked into it quite a lot. They just chose random names, but...
Well, I think that's what, if you weren't aware, like, of sort of how they come up with these working titles, I think that one is quite a good indication, like group hug. Avengers, they're assembling, you know.
What I did there with Toy Story 4, though, I was like, what, who hugs? A group of people, why would they be hugging?
They're friends, yeah.
They're friends.
I thought you were going to throw in, like, Zach and Miri make a porno. Group hug.
I'm keeping it PG-13. But Tom Hiddleston said, you know, I quote, "It felt very appropriate, as it felt very much like a group hug on set." That's lovely.
Yeah, that's such a Tom Hiddleston thing
He's
to say.
He's such a sweetie, isn't he?
He is sweet, yeah.
Right, okay, moving on. Niall.
Right, yes.
Okay, I'll stop now. Okay, so the code name or working title is Planet Ice. Now,
Planet Ice, okay.
Here are your options. I, Tonya, The Day After Tomorrow, or Titanic?
Oh, see, my gut was Day After Tomorrow, but I have a feeling this is Titanic.
I see.
Is Titanic, it Titanic?
Titanic, your final answer?
Yeah, go on.
It is Titanic.
Yes. Oh, I think somewhere in the back of my mind I knew that one.
Mm. James Cameron chose Planet Ice as, at the time, no one had obviously made a film about Titanic, and he didn't want to say that he was making a film about Titanic in case other studios beat him to it.
Definitely. That's, and, I mean, yeah, makes sense. But I think as soon as I heard Planet Ice, I was like, day after tomorrow, it's an Ice Age film.
Yeah, but, God, I'm good.
No, when you said Titanic, it rang a bell in the back of my
mind. Well,
there
mind, we go.
So. I like the I, Tonya. That's a good shout.
Oh, mate, I was really struggling with some of these. I was like,
yeah. Ice films, there we go.
Yeah, but then I don't want to make it too obvious. Oh, it was a nightmare. But this next one, I had 9 and I was really struggling for 10.
Okay.
So here's essentially number 10 in number 3's position. And I knew you would know this one. So,
okay.
Can you tell me the film that was disguised as Blue Harvest? So,
I can.
We've got Star Wars.
Yeah.
We've got The Empire Strikes Back. Or we've got Return of the Jedi. I thought I'd try and make it a little bit harder, even though I know exactly you know what it is.
It was Star Wars, A New Hope. Was it not?
It was Return of the Jedi.
Was it really?
Apparently so. I thought it was Star Wars as well. And now I'm doubting myself. Hold on.
Well, I was super confident in that answer. So if I was wrong, that's embarrassing. But, you know, I thought it was A New Hope. But then I guess that's what they named the Family Guy spoof
exactly.
of A New Hope. So maybe that's where the confusion is. I don't know.
Yeah, it was Return of the Jedi. And as far as I can tell, I think they used Blue Harvest or whatever, you know, because of how popular Star Wars got, all the production costs went through the roof from like people that were hiring out like locations and services because they knew it was going to make money. Yeah. So
they used that. And is it not Blue Harvest? Isn't that a reference to Tatooine's like crops or whatever that grow blue? Or am I?
I believe so.
Something to do with that. Yeah.
With my understanding. Number 4, we have Changing Seasons.
Ooh.
Now, is this 500 Days of Summer, The Devil Wears Prada, or is it in fact Fellowship of the Ring?
Ooh. Oh, that's tricky. Think I'm going to go with 500 Days of Summer because I've only seen it once, but I vaguely remember it being a thing, and then at the end he meets a girl called Autumn.
That's good reasoning, and that's exactly why I put it in there as a fake one.
Oh, you got me. God, what was it?
Which bamboozled. One? It was Fellowship of the Ring.
Was it really?
Yeah, and I looked high and low on the internet, but the only thing I could see was that it was just so like obscure and random that not even the freaky Tolkien diehards could figure it out.
I was about to say the same thing. Like, if it's any reference to like the books or you know any of it, the lore behind the films, it's just that people would work it out. So I guess they had to just go really obscure,
really weird.
Good, that was a good little red herring there, Jack. You threw me.
Again, that one I struggle with. I was like seasons, and I was like, oh, Devil Wears Prada. You know, clothing seasons, like genius,
Jack.
Thank you. All right.
Masterful,
just right. So, we have up next Black Mask was the working title, but for what film was it? Pulp Fiction, D for Vendetta, or Scream 4?
Ooh. I'm going Pulp Fiction because the other two seem like really obvious, like mask films.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, that was too obvious. So, it
not
wasn't
so masterful.
Not so much. I peaked at Devil Wears Prada.
Why is it Black Mask? Is there some link there I'm missing?
So, well, yes and no.
Oh, is it the Gimp Mask?
No.
Is it to do with the Gimp that appears?
Not in the slightest. oh, dear.
Okay.
Right, so apparently Quentin Tarantino, he wanted a way to pay homage to, and I quote, the hard-boiled crime fiction magazines that popularized the pulp fiction genre in the 1930s and 40s.
That's the most Tarantino sentence anyone's ever said.
Very obscure. Yeah. Apparently, a pulp fiction is a genre. I did not know that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I knew that, but
like, I must have known that, but I'm not familiar with the, you know, with the phrase pulp fiction.
Yeah, it's all to do with because they used to print it on really like cheap paper, and that's why it's called pulp fiction, because it was just like essentially like a kind of precursor to comic books. Like, it's that sort of like it was seen as like really trashy, like you know, fiction.
Well, there we go.
But
you smart little noodle.
I didn't know that. That's why he chose the working title Black Mask for his. It's what a weirdo.
He is a strange man, but we love him for it.
Yeah, definitely.
Right. What have we got next? We have Codename Starbeast. Your options are X-Men.
Starbeast,
yes. We've got X-Men First Class. We've got Alien. Or we've got Rock of Ages.
I think I'm going to have to go Rock of Ages, and I don't know why.
I'm so glad you went for Rock of Ages. Because I typed it. I was like, that's so stupid.
I guess that's why I went for it, because I thought, there's no link there between Starbeast and Rock of Ages.
Well, my very weak link was, if you're a star, you know, you're a rock star, you're a crazy beast. But it was actually Alien, and I didn't know this, but it was named after the Xenomorph. Apparently, its name is Starbeast. Apparently.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. When you said Alien, all I had in my head was, do you remember when I brought along the weird translations of, like, you know, foreign titles translated back to English? And there was one for Alien that was like something really funny. And I was just thinking about that. And I thought, nah, it's probably not Alien, is it? Like, that's obvious.
Yeah.
Ah, you got me again.
Gotcha. I've not been keeping track. We'll run through it again afterwards.
Yeah.
Right. Now, this one is an interesting one. I will be interested to know if you know.
Okay.
So, working title was Incident on 57th Street.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Oh, you sound confident.
No, that's really familiar, though. So I'm hoping when you say the names, I'm gonna know this.
So we've got Gangs of New York,
mm-hmm.
Elf, or Chamber of Secrets.
Ooh.
As in Harry Potter, obviously.
Yeah. Is this Elf?
What would be your thinking behind Elf?
Because it's similar to Miracle on, you know, 42nd Street or whatever, and it's sort of like an idiotic spoof of that title.
Mm.
But also, I just have this weird feeling that it's like, it's a film. It's like somewhere in the back of my mind that I've read this before, but I can't remember what film. But there is like some really silly, like, it's not what you think it would be. It's, you know, so I'm pretty sure it's not Gangs of New York, but
so you're 50-50. Sure.
Yeah, and I'm gonna go with Elf, but I'm not confident.
Okay. And reveal, it is Chamber of Secrets.
Is it?
It is.
Is that just like, again, similar to Lord of the Rings, because the production,
yeah,
do you think, or,
yeah, because it was because Philosopher's Stone blew up. But the only thing I can think of
was,
is
that the incident, do you think, when Philosopher's Stone blew up?
Oh, it could have been. Or the incident was when the chamber opened. But
that's the thing, though, because Chamber of Secrets, like, again, like, people in America won't know this, but I feel like it's a really American thing to have, like, 57th Street. Like, we don't have that
on the corner of so and so and so and so. Yeah.
Harry Potter's not, it's very British. And in Britain, we have, like, just, you know, roads like, I don't know, Crazy Lane and stuff like that.
Yeah, Dumb Woman's Lane is another one near us. Which actually has got quite a sinister story behind it, but
it's for another podcast. Maybe.
It is. So Incident on 57th Street is also a Bruce Springsteen song. So I'm imagining that's,
oh,
and Chris Columbus, I being see. American, I'd imagine he's a fan of the Boss.
All Americans are, yeah.
Who isn't? And
this is true.
I'm glad the thought process behind Miracle on 30 whatever street it was exactly what I went for, so I'm glad.
You're so sneaky, Jack.
God, I'm a sneaky little boy, right?
You're sneakier than one of those Gringotts goblins.
Oh dear.
Key, please.
Right, moving on swiftly.
Okay.
The code name I would like you to decode is The Burly Man.
Ooh, the this Burly sounds Man. Like it might be, might not be suitable for the podcast, Jack.
I can assure you, it very much is.
Okay, go on, hit me with my choices.
Okay, so we've got Rocky 3,
mm-hmm.
Jingle All the Way,
okay,
or The Matrix Reloaded.
Okay.
A real mix.
I feel like if you've put The Matrix Reloaded in there, that you've done it to make me think that's the one, because there's no link. Because obviously Arnie is a very burly man, and Rocky, obviously, there's, you know, And The Matrix is another one. It had a really successful original film. I'm going to go with The Matrix. Was it Reloaded?
It was Matrix Reloaded, yes. And you got that right.
Was the reasoning behind you adding the other two correct?
Kind of.
Well,
I was just thinking of like Big Men. I was like, Rocky, Arnie, and Jingle.
Yeah, fair enough. I would have gone with like King Kong or something, because if you'd put King Kong, I think I would have.
Oh, I've dropped my mic. Bloody hell, I'm such a burly man. Right.
Such a burly man.
God. So the reasoning behind that one is that it was quite a subtle nod to a Coen Brothers film called Barton Fink, I think it was.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And I think the big fight scene in Reloaded is actually known as the Burly Brawl, which I didn't know.
Oh, okay. No, I didn't know that either. But is that the one where there's like 1,000 Agent Smiths and he's like...
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah.
I quite like that.
Yeah, that's fun. That's a nice little piece of trivia.
Yeah, you definitely will forget that, like I will. Right.
Probably.
We're cool. We're rattling through these. You are on fire. We are on number 9.
So, I need some of that Planet Ice, don't I?
You do need some of that Planet Ice. Right. So, Artemis is the code name I'd like you to figure out.
Just the word Artemis.
Artemis.
The name. Yeah. Okay.
So, we've got The Hunger Games, 300, or Clash of Titans.
Ooh.
Artemis.
I'm going to go with Hunger Games.
So, you're going to go Hunger Games?
Well, I feel like the others, there's such an obvious link there that, like, Hunger Games, it's still kind of obvious, but not as obvious.
Okay.
So that's why I'm going with that. Was Artemis not the Lord, like the goddess of the hunt?
That is correct. So it was Hunger Games, and Artemis is the name of the Greek deity that is portrayed as like a huntress with a bow and arrow.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And I thought, well, that's a link, but it's not as obvious as the others. So
yeah.
It was a guess, but...
A very good guess too.
Yeah, no, good. That was a good one.
Thank you. And finally, number 10, which I'm assuming you're going to know this straight away.
Okay.
But the code name is Red Sun, S-U-N, Red Sun. And the film choices are, you've got the Angry Birds movie.
Right.
Superman Returns or Clifford the Big Red Dog.
Is that Superman Returns?
Damn right it is. It is Superman Returns. Do you know why? You probably do.
Is it to do with the Red Sun, either the Red Sun of Krypton or the, what was it? There's a graphic novel called Red Sun, which
there is
I
indeed.
Own because I'm a nerd.
Yep.
And it's like an alternate reality where Superman lands in the Soviet Union and becomes like a Soviet superhero.
That's correct.
It's actually really good if anyone's interested in reading that. It's definitely worth your time.
Worth a read.
Award-winning piece of...
Oh, really?
Piece of art. Yeah, yeah. It really is amazing. You've
interesting.
Got to check it out.
Okay. Well, yeah.
That's good. How many did I get, Jack?
Let's go
on,
through
run,
let's,
run back through.
Let's run through the top. So, we had number one, which was Avengers. You got that right.
Yeah.
And then we had Planet Ice, which I believe you went for The Day After Tomorrow.
No, I went for Titanic.
Oh, you
on
did
that one.
Do Titanic. Okay, so you're 2 for 2. Number 3 was Blue Harvest.
You got that wrong.
Got that one wrong, so that's you're still on 2. And then we got Changing Seasons, which was Fellowship.
Got that wrong.
God, you're dumb. Right. Number 5 was Black Mask, and it was not the Gimp Mask, but it was, in fact, if you can remember correctly, the hard-boiled crime fiction magazine that popularized the pulp fiction genre in the 30s and 40s.
Yes, I'm just going to remember that as it was a Tarantino reason.
Yeah. Okay, you're on 3. And then we've got Star Beast.
Got that wrong.
Yeah, and then Incident on 57th Street, Chamber of Secrets, you got right.
No, I got that wrong.
What did you go for?
I went for Elf.
Oh, yeah, bamboozled you. Right.
Your memory is shocking, Jack. This was literally like 2 minutes
Look,
ago.
I've said a lot of words, Noel. The Burly Man, you got that right. Matrix Reloaded.
Yeah.
Number 9, Artemis, you got that.
Is that 4?
That's 4 so far.
4, yeah.
Artemis, 5, you got that correct. Hunger Games.
Yeah.
And then number 10, Superman, is correct. 6. So you got 6 out of 10. That's pretty good going.
Well, that's, yeah, it's better than half.
Yeah. Make it all day long.
Yeah.
Well done.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you were playing along at home, why not drop us a comment and tell us how many you got right?
Yeah. And if I threw you off with my 500 days of summer.
Yeah. Did Jack hoodwink you? Is Jack the smartest man you've ever encountered in your life?
Let's not go that far. Or was your mind, in fact, in the gutter like Niles for Pulp Fiction? Let us know.
Well, no, I'm pretty sure there is a gimp in that film, is there not?
Well, there is, but that's not the first thing I'd go to now, to be honest with you.
Yeah, but I just thought there could be some joke where, like, they had a gimp mask on set and everyone was, like, throwing it around.
Oh, Lord!
Jack's fallen.
This is ridiculous. This professional home studio I've got now is just...
Oh. Yeah, I mean, I can't really say much. I used the wrong microphone last week, so...
Do you know the irony of you saying that is your microphone cut out?
Oh dear.
Hilarious. What are we like? Please send us money so we can get professional equipment.
Well, Jack, Jack, thank you for bringing that along. That was a lot of fun.
You're welcome.
Segment 4, Jack. It's time for pet peeves.
Pet peeve.
Jack, what's been annoying you lately in film?
What has been annoying me? So I can't remember what film I watched that sparked it, but so a thing I noticed, it happens a lot in, you know, TV as well, but basically when, say, there's something urgent going on and someone rushes home or they need to convey what's going on and they try and turn the TV on, and as they do, it happens to be exactly the right minute that the news reporter is starting their sentence with exactly what us, the viewer, needs to hear. That happens every time. Yeah, same with the radio as well. They're like, zip, tune in, and then it's like end of the world, bang on.
Yeah, can I just say that sort of happened in Nightmare Alley, with there was a sort of critical moment and there was about 10 seconds of like other broadcast first, and then this sort of specific news item comes on, and the guy's like, oh no, and he rushes out to, and it's all very dramatic, and but yeah, convenient. Very, very convenient. Can you think of any other examples, like from specific films? Or
I don't know.
I mean, that's in everything.
It literally is. I guess it's a good way of, you know, exposition, but
Oh, it happens in Spider-Man No Way Home when they're I mean, that's not as bad, that one, because it's like the whole point is that it would be on every
breaking
channel everywhere.
News, yeah.
But it does happen there. It
does happen a lot.
Well, Jack, mine this week is actually specifically from Nightmare Alley.
Oh,
like
okay.
It really, I mean, again, it happens in so many things. But when we were watching it yesterday, I just kept noticing it and I kept thinking, that's really annoying. Like the first time I thought, oh, that was funny. And then the second time I thought, oh, he's done it again. And then the third time I thought, right, you need to stop doing that.
What was
and
that,
then by the, you know, 20th time, I was sick of it. Smoking.
Oh no, love smoking, right? In films.
It's no, not the actual act of smoking. Like, I don't care if someone is smoking in a film, like, fine, whatever. But what kept happening in Nightmare Alley, Bradley Cooper would light a cigarette, smoke, maybe, actually, I feel like you've maybe said this one, like,
oh, possibly
early on,
or
in the podcast.
It was about food, but yeah, I know what you mean.
Possibly. But he smoked like barely even half of a cigarette and he just flick it away. And you know, I get that it's the 40s and cigarettes probably weren't quite as expensive then, but it's still a waste of money. Like, he was literally smoking not even half of this cigarette,
yeah,
just throwing it away.
One drag.
And there was one part quite early on where he lights a cigarette. It's when he first goes into the freak tent at the start.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember, Jack. And he lights it as he's walking in. He literally takes maybe two puffs of it and just throws it on the floor as he goes in. And I thought, but like, this is a time when technically it wasn't illegal. He could have like smoked that in the tent. I don't think it would have been an issue. Like,
yeah, I don't know why, you know, why he did that
societally. But it happened just repeatedly throughout the film. Like, he'd smoke half of one and then just leave it on an ashtray, or
he's just got the money to.
I must have counted it like at least about 12 times,
yeah,
probably, if not more.
It was
and
yeah.
It happens a lot in a lot of things. And I just think, why did you light that if you weren't going to finish it? Like, what was the point?
Because the act of lighting a cigarette is Very cool.
Yeah, and it draws the eye.
Yeah,
and,
the match.
I just find it breaks the immersion because you're aware that it's just being done for that effect. And it's the same thing. This isn't a pet peeve, but it's the same basic thing as, you know, when you see someone eating an apple
in a film.
Well, they do that apparently because it makes whoever's eating the apple, when you eat an apple on film, you look cocky.
Okay, I can see that.
And that's why famously James T. Kirk does it in Wrath of Khan when he's talking about how he cheated the Kobayashi Maru at Starfleet Academy. And, and then they specifically did that like because it made him look cocky or whatever. But then Chris Pine, they had him do the same thing for the reboot when he's taking the test and it's like a whole
thing.
Yeah, it's a whole thing. And it's like that. It's when I see that, I think, but that's just obviously being done because of the way it looks on film and not because it has any real relevance to anything.
Yeah, like, I know what you mean.
It's just, you know, smoking a cigarette for the sake of it, lighting a cigarette to not smoke it. What's the point?
Don't know. Smoke up, kids.
Breaks the immersion. Yeah, go on. If you're going to light them, smoke them. That's what I'm saying.
If you're going to light them, smoke them.
Don't just light it and chuck it away like Bradley Cooper, the poser.
Yeah, we don't all have Bradley Cooper's money or his handsome good looks.
Or his moustache was just...
Oh, that was great.
That made the film for me. Mm. Just made it. Okay, well, that brings us right towards the end. But we've got a couple more things, Jack. So
we're almost there, guys.
We are. Just hang in there. Please. This is like watching Nightmare Alley all over again.
Yeah, first off, really dragged.
So, Jack... We don't always do this, actually, but it's quite fun. I quite like doing it. You were better at sticking to it than me, but future watch list, what are you planning on watching?
Well, one I want to rewatch because I only saw it once at the cinema, but I loved it, really loved it, and that was Black Klansman, Spike Lee. Yeah. I love Spike Lee.
Fair enough.
Just a really great film. And talking about Topher Grace last week, about being cast incredibly wrong in Spider-Man. He could not be more perfect for this film. Like, he plays it perfectly.
I've not actually seen it, so but that's one.
Do you know anything about it?
Not really, no.
So it's about a couple of police detectives, one of whom is black, played by, I always forget his name, Denzel's son.
Oh, John David.
John, that's it. And it's based on a true story, incredibly, as well. Like, it's actually insane. They tried to infiltrate the KKK, and he does it via the phone, but as a black man, but he manages to put on like this really crazy good like white voice. And they, it's about trying to get into the KKK and shut it down. But it's really good. And Topher Grace plays a Klansman, and he is evil.
Yeah, I see. I like Topher Grace. Like, he can do like sort of sinister, but like funny sinister, not you know, it was just the Spider-Man casting that was wrong. Like, I like him when I see him in normal things that he belongs in. Oh no, that's a good show.
Really, really good. And then the other one, again, we're talking about stop motion a lot, but it's my favorite. It cropped up on Netflix. It's a new one called The House.
Yeah, I saw that and I instantly thought of you.
Yeah.
I actually said to my partner, I said, oh, Jack would love this. Look at it. And she was like, oh, yeah, this is very Jack.
This is very, I don't know what that says about me, but it's just, because I watched the, you know, it plays like the little trailer if you hover on it for less than a bloody second, which is really annoying, but it looks really good. And the write up for it is, it goes, across different eras, a poor family, an anxious developer, and a fed-up landlady become tied to the same mysterious house in this dark animated comedy. And it looks mental. Like,
it looks great, doesn't it? It's in my list. Like, it's not on my list of like future watch lists.
Yeah.
But, you know, but it is in my Netflix list of like, I need to check that out. Yeah. It looks amazing.
Again, kind of James and the Giant Peach weirdness, character design,
Yeah,
looks really good. I definitely will try and watch that this week. But
good shout.
You know, I'm not setting my goals unrealistically. Two seems to be good for me at the moment.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's sort of what I was getting at. Like, you tend to stick to these. You normally at least have seen one of the ones you said you would, and I very rarely do.
Yeah, but you watch 10 million films. I just...
Yeah, yeah. But, it is a little chaotic.
But what are you planning on watching?
Well, so I've got a couple. I'm going to finally get around to watching Logan.
Have you not watched that?
Still not seen it, but I've got it on DVD. I've just not watched it. I'm going to be reviewing that. It's one of my late to the party reviews, but I've got a list coming out that's to do with X-Men, and I realized I'd never seen that one. So that's like
great.
A sort of, yeah, pressing. I need to watch that soon. So I'm definitely going to watch that. I keep sort of like, I feel bad for saying this, but I really don't want to see this one.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go and catch Belfast while it's in.
I want to see that. I've heard really good things.
Heard good things. There's just nothing about it that really grabs me. Like, I watched the trailer and was like, oh, okay,
you might be surprised. All right,
I'll go and see it. But I think I'm gonna go and check it out, because like, I feel like I should. I want to be able to do like a proper, like, my best films of 2022 by the end of the year, and I'm not going to be able to do that properly if I skip out on,
no,
you know,
well, especially one like that. And I feel like that's going to have a bit of Oscar buzz around it.
Well, that's what, yeah, it's already, I believe it won. It won a Golden Globe, I want to say, for like original screenplay or
Kenneth Branagh, is it something. Not?
It is Kenneth Branagh. Jamie Dornan's in it, I think.
Again, another great actor who got horribly typecast.
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, I think I'm going to check that out. But it's just the prospect's not particularly exciting to me at the moment. But I don't know. I'm also planning on rewatching the Resident Evil films. You know, they're like ridiculous action horror like nonsense. I've not seen them in years,
no,
and again, I want to write about them for the site. So I think I'm going to rewatch those. There's what, six of them.
Oh, there's so, plenty to you keep know. You busy.
Yeah. Well, that actually brings us to the end of this week's podcast. But don't disappear, because I mean, if you tend to disappear as soon as I say that, you won't know. But we end the podcast with a fun little film quote, and usually a little audio gag right at the very end. So just listen. Yeah, it's only like another minute. Just suck it up, all right? Please do go and follow Corner of Film on the social medias. That's Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Corner of Film. You can also follow me at Lord of the Grey on Twitter if you're interested. I also write for Screen Rant, so you can sometimes find links to stuff I do on there. Lastly, please do drop us a review or rating on your podcast platform of choice, and don't neglect the follow button either. It will help us get a little boost up in, you know, podcast rankings or however that works.
We're coming for you, Joe Rogan.
Yeah. Oh, we could beat Joe Rogan. He's literally insane.
He's a gammon head.
He is an absolute gammon. So now we finish bashing Joe Rogan. It's my turn for the quote this week, Jack. And I wanted to keep it relevant. So I kind of scoured back through the entire screenplay. No, I didn't. I wanted a quote from Nightmare Alley.
Oh, yeah.
Because there were some really funny moments.
Yeah, and there actually was.
I nearly took one that essentially spoils the ending, which... You know, you can, I'm sure you can imagine what that would be. But I've gone with one that's actually from the start of the film. So, is it a beast or is it a man? You're in luck because tonight you'll see him feed. Come in and find out, is he man or beast? That's Clem Hoatley from Nightmare Alley.
That was great.
Selling his carnival freak show. It's not the most exciting. I was going to do a really funny voice, but I didn't want to risk it. Not after the Christopher Walken, you know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Yep.
Well, goodbye.
Goodbye. And Niall.
Goodbye. Yes.
If you'd like to preheat your oven to 180 degrees Celsius, and you can place breadcrumbs in a very large bowl, grate over onion, mix so the breadcrumbs are all wet. Yeah. Transfer into a loaf tin. Brush generously with glaze, about using half a teaspoon. Remove the meatloaf from the oven and brush it with the remaining glaze. If there is excess fat pooling, scoop/pour it off. Bake for 30 minutes and then enjoy.
Jack, I'd do anything for love, but I won't do that.
I would do anything.